So I need a volunteer. Cherie Hagan, thank you so much for volunteering.
Okay.
You know, I want you to do something. I want you, come on out here in the aisle. I'm going to ask you in a minute to stand on one leg. So it's a good core exercise too. But I want you in one, so it's got to be.
And I broke my leg too.
Well, you can hang on then. But I want you standing on one leg, so it's got to be short to the point, okay? To give us a principle or a basic rule of life that if everybody followed this, life would be great for everybody. You know, we have these all the time, you know, things like, you know, don't worry, be happy, don't judge a book by its cover. It's Mother's Day, and, you know, here's one for kids. Any kids? This is something to remember here. I should do this on one leg. I'm not sure I could do this. You know, never complain when your mom asks you about basic computer skills. Remember, she taught you how to operate a spoon, okay? Okay, that's good. Okay, so you got something?
I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Okay,
one leg.
Obedience brings blessing, disobedience brings curses.
Ooh, that's pretty good. I like that.
Biblical.
That'll
work.
That'll fly. I like that. Thank you. Well,
if we had time, I'd love to get some wisdom of the youth here and what they would say too. But this principle or this standing on one leg is actually something that happened in 20 BC. With one of the great teachers in Israel, a man by the name of Hillel, and he was asked, stand on one leg and give us a summary of what Scripture is all about. And standing on one leg, this is what he said, what is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor. That's pretty good. What is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor. Now, that was not really original with him. There were other ancients who had said similar things. In fact, even Confucius in China had said something similar to that. So, you know, this is a pretty good rule. Don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. But that's not the golden rule, is it? Actually, that is known as the silver rule. But at least the silver rule is not the iron rule or the brass rule. You know what the iron rule is? Do unto others before they do unto you. And then the brass rule, do unto others what they did to you. You know, get even. The silver rule that Hillel and other ancients offered, do not do to others what you don't want them to do to you. It's a good rule. You don't want to be stolen from, so don't steal from others. You don't want to be dishonored, so don't dishonor others. You don't want to be killed, so don't kill others. You know, moms everywhere use this rule. You know, how would you like it if your sister took your toy from you? You don't, so don't take it from her. But Jesus steps onto the scene, and he says something that seems as though it has never been spoken before. And actually, there's no recording in history, written history, that this rule, which became known as the golden rule, was ever uttered. It was always in the negative. But here, Jesus utters this rule that we now know as the golden rule, Matthew 7:12. Here it is. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also for them, for this is the law and the prophets. Do to others what you would have them do to you. Now, why is the golden rule gold? Well, interesting, around 222 AD, the Roman Emperor Severus adopted this as his motto. And he had it put up on buildings in Rome, and as the story goes, he wrote it on the wall of his palace in gold, hence it became known as the Golden Rule. But it's not golden because it was written in gold. One of the reasons it's gold is because it is positive. Again, the silver rule was negative in posture, don't do unto others, but the golden rule moves us from this passivity to activity. We are to actively do good to others. You know, I would want my body to be respected, so I will respect others. You know, I would want others to protect my stuff, so I will protect theirs. And actually, we see this all over the Old Testament. You know, if it's the Sabbath day and your neighbor's donkey's in the ditch, well, don't walk on by. You know, get the donkey out of the ditch and give it to you, return it to your neighbor. So you do to your neighbor what you'd want done to you. Well, almost every major religion, in fact, some of these conferences that we've had where world religions have gotten together, everybody's adopted some form of the golden rule in their code of ethics of how to deal with others. Even secular people embrace this as a sound ethic to live by. It's the gold standard for how to do life. And if you follow this rule at home, at work, or at school, in general, I mean, you're going to be a better person. And others will probably, not always, but probably like you and be blessed by you. But even with all the positive action that this rule calls us to, that is still not why it is golden. The reason this rule is solid gold is because it reflects God and thus sums up the law and the prophets, as Jesus says here. Now, at first read, this law seems to have nothing to do with God. God's not mentioned in it. I mean, do to others as you want done to you. The reference point is you, itself. That's probably why it's so appealing to non-religious types, but not so fast. Where this word falls in the Sermon on the Mount, I mean, in a way, it seems to come out of nowhere. Jesus just, oh yeah, I forgot this one little tidbit of wisdom. Let me throw this in before I bring the sermon to a conclusion. But that's not the case. This golden rule in itself is a summary statement. It begins with so, or therefore, meaning it brings to a point what has come before it. And what has come before it is the goodness of God. If you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So, whatever you want others to do for you, do for them. We have a good Father. And our doing good to others is gold because it is a reflection of this God who does good to others. And that in itself is the sum of the law and the prophets, because the law and the prophets are simply teaching us to live as God is. That Jesus makes self the standard here is not selfishness, it's expansiveness, just like our God. It's expansiveness of extending self to care for others who are made in his image and who are made in the same image that you and I are made, the image of God. And so my care for my neighbor as I would for myself, in doing that, I honor God because I reflect his goodness. And that is the law and the prophets. Well, what does the gold life then look like? The gold life, living by the golden rule. Well, Dan Cathy, CEO of Chick-fil-A, a few years ago was in Southern California looking at some restaurants that he was building. And he was very near the church where Rick Warren pastors, Saddleback Church. And so Rick Warren was with him. And these two stopped at a construction site. And afterwards, they were hungry, but since there was no Chick-fil-A around, they're being constructed, they went next door to Taco Bell. And, well, you know, they were dirty after being on a construction site, so they went into the restroom to wash up, and the restroom was filthy. Well, after washing his hands, Dan Cathy took extra towels and hand-cleaned the bathroom of Taco Bell. And Rick Warren asks, "What are you doing, Dan?" And he responded, "We teach our staff to always leave the place they are in better than it was than when they found it, whether it's our place or not." You know, nobody at Taco Bell or Taco Bell Corporation knew that the CEO of their competition just cleaned their bathroom for free. That's the gold life, actively doing good to others, whether you are seen or not. Well, living by this golden rule, again, it's not a selfish thing. You know, a man who thinks, you know, I sure would love it if somebody gave me a new lawnmower. Hey, I think I'll buy my wife a new lawnmower for her birthday. Sorry, but that's not the golden rule. That's stupidity. Your wife is not going to feel the love, okay? But if you sincerely live out of this rule, doing others to others what you would want done for yourself, I mean, even if you mess up with the best of intentions, you're still going to make a difference. You're going to distinguish yourself. Why? Because very few people actually live like this. Even Christians are focused on my best life now way more than your life now. Living the gold life, people may like you more. They may notice your efforts. I think you'll find that true generally, but not always. Sometimes our good is misunderstood and maligned. In Denver, Colorado, a few years ago, Taylor Ostergaard and Lindsay Zaletti, two teenagers, wanted to bless their neighbors, and so instead of going to a Saturday night dance, they stayed home to bake cookies and then give them to neighbors. Well, they set out after baking. They set out late in the evening, and they left fresh baked cookies at houses where there were lights on. Well, it was 10:30 at night when they knocked on the door of this one particular home. The lights were on. The 49-year-old woman inside did not answer the door, and so they just left the cookies on the doorstep and went on their way. Well, unfortunately, this woman experienced an anxiety attack over the late-night visit, and after a trip to the emergency room the next morning, the woman decided to sue the girls. Well, she did, and she won. A Denver judge awarded this woman, let's call her Brunhilde, $900 to cover emergency room expenses. And the woman said that she wanted the girls to learn a lesson. They should not have been out late at night running door to door. Quote, something bad could have happened to them. Yeah, like this woman. Well, after the story was published in the Denver Post, hundreds of readers were outraged that these girls were sued for dropping off a plate of cookies and a paper heart to their neighbor. And so they sent in thousands of dollars to help these girls pay their fine. Well, as my father-in-law loves to say, no good deed goes unpunished. And that often is true. But here's the deal. What's our response going to be to toxic people when our good is rejected or maligned? What is your response when you encounter people like that? Or what's your response when selfishness just absolutely tarnishes the gold? True story. Last week, a fifth grader asked his teacher, what does the word yield mean? Well, it means to stop and to wait, to let others go first. This boy responded, so I stop and I let one person go, but then I get to go, right? No, the teacher responded, in traffic, you yield to all oncoming traffic until the way is clear, and then you may go. And in a rage, this little fifth grader shouted, no way, that's not fair. I'll let one person go, but then it's my turn and no one's stopping me. Well, what if a policeman does? I'll tell him it's not fair. I shouldn't have to wait for anybody. Now, we might write that off as the immaturity of a fifth grader. But unfortunately, that attitude follows us and manifests constantly in adulthood. I mean, we may say that we choose the golden rule as our ethic, but let's be honest, nobody keeps it perfectly because we are beset by selfishness. And here's the thing. Jesus is so brilliant, he knows this. Jesus summarizes the law in an agreeable, winsome way that nobody would dispute. And then he steps back. What happens next? We get clobbered with the very rule that we say is golden. It ends up condemning us because we can't measure up to it. Well, again, this is Jesus at his best, setting us up for the gospel. As we have seen throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus ingeniously sets the standard for his followers. Don't be angry. Don't lust. Don't divorce. Love your enemies. Don't be anxious. Stop judging others. Now, if we're honest, yeah, we get it, but we can't do it. And so the Sermon on the Mount drives us to Jesus and to our need of grace. It leads us to Jesus and the gold command. The gold command? This is what Jesus gave his followers the night before his death in John 13:34. A new command I give to you, love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you are to love one another. Notice the new reference point. It's Jesus. And Jesus said this right after he had gotten down on the floor and washed the dirty, stinky feet of his followers, feet of men who would use those feet to run away from Jesus before the night was over. He washed the feet of Judas, whose foot would, in effect, kick Jesus in the teeth, betraying him. The next day, Jesus suffered death on the cross in order to take away the penalty that our sin deserved. I mean, talk about toxic people, ingrates who misunderstand and malign the goodness of God and, in effect, sue the Son of God, saying, crucify him, he's not fit to live among us. Yet Jesus loved them. Jesus loved you. Jesus loved me. And so now this golden rule is powered by the gold command, which is all about the love of God for us in Christ. If I were to change up the metaphor here, these two in combination are lenses that form a pair of glasses that are a powerful way to see and move through life with, because it is the life Jesus calls us to. You know, this past week, I was diligently trying to follow the golden rule. And in one instance, I was on my way up to the office. I was down by the fire station in Black Mountain, turning right on Montreat Road. And I noticed this car coming up, and I thought, you know, if I hit the gas, I can get out. I can dart out in front of this guy and have a clear road all to myself all the way to Montreat. But I was thinking golden rule. I thought, okay, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Courteousness is really good. And so I waited. And the guy passed, and I pulled in behind him. And he drove the speed limit almost all the way to the Montreat gate, where he then slowed, and I'm not exaggerating, because I look, he slowed to 5 miles per hour to go through the gate. Now, if you don't know, the speed limit there is 30, not 5. Okay, do to others what I would want done to me. Well, I wouldn't want somebody honking or riding my bumper, so I hung back, trying not to grumble. But then he drove 5 miles an hour under the speed limit all the way up Assembly Drive. Well, now the guy's an inconsiderate jerk, according to my rules of the road, and he was dense. He didn't pick up on any of my telepathic messages. Speed up, turn here, pull over. Don't you see the line of cars behind you? He just kept driving like nothing was wrong. And all I could do is try not to fume, and it wasn't working well. I mean, the golden rule was melting in the crucible of my anger and frustration. And it was then that, praise God, I remembered Jesus. And I thought about his patience with me and his kindness and grace to me with all my denseness and jerk moments when I broke all his rules of the road, so to speak. And it was his very grace and love for me, for Richard White, that diffused my irritation and anger so much that I could pray for the man, pray blessing. And not spiritual blessing, you'll bless his little heart when you actually mean you jerk. But genuinely pray. I thought maybe he doesn't know where he's going. I thought maybe God's put me behind this man to pray for him because God's wanting to do something in his life. My heart was strangely warmed by the love of Jesus for me. And that was when I was able to do to this man what I would want done for me if I was in his shoes. Now, I acknowledge I've chosen a simplistic example. Life is often much more crunchy and harsh. We deal with injustice and people who may deliberately be seeking to hurt us or reject us. But the golden rule matched by the golden command is the ethic that our rabbi Jesus gives us to live by. And it is powerful because it is powered by the life-giving love of our Savior. I've called this series that we've been in since January, In the Dust of the Rabbi. Disciples were encouraged to follow so closely behind their teachers that the dust that their teachers kicked up, you know, metaphor for their teaching, well, it got all over them. Well, here's the dust of Jesus. I want to be covered in, and I hope you want to be covered in as well. The grace of his love for us. Knowing his love, this is what changes us. And this is what enables us then to be a change factor in whatever situation we are in. As you head out into your week, into the issues of life, there's so many choices in front of us. And there may be a lot of things that maybe are in your heart, you know, good to do to others that you just don't have time, energy, or resource for. But in the place where God has you this week, my guess is there's going to be somebody who's difficult in your life. And so pick that one person and begin to look at that relationship intently through the lenses of the golden rule and the golden command. Begin to deal with that person as you would want them to deal with you, and then love them as Jesus has loved you, being mindful that the love of Christ for us was sacrificial love. Now, that does not guarantee things will go well. Some people may snub your kindness. But the grace and love of Jesus for us isn't based on who we are and how we respond. It's based on who Jesus is. So here's what God wants in the entire Sermon on the Mount. To be a kingdom people. And what does that mean? It's to be a people who reflect our God to this world around us. And so, my brother, my sister, go be like your Savior. Reflect his grace by relying on his grace. Walk in the dust of Jesus. Love as you have been loved and are loved by him. Amen.